This is In the Hive, a show that looks at the issues and ideas that tie the Greater Salt Lake Valley together. I'm Emily Means, and today on the show we look at two programs helping connect people experiencing homelessness with the resources and services they need, and with each other. Last Friday, Salt Lake City hosted Project Homeless Connect at the Salt Palace Convention Center. Hundreds of people experiencing homelessness were teamed up with volunteers who guided them through a range of services from the community, including a makeshift medical tent from 4th Street Clinic, a truck full of goods from the food pantry, and a barbershop for those in need of a trim. Mike Ackerlow, Deputy Director of Community and Neighborhoods with Salt Lake City, noticed the idea being implemented elsewhere in the country and transplanted it to Utah for a test run.
I was in Denver earlier this year, and they were talking about it, and I said to them after this meeting that we had, what is this Project Homeless Connect? We got to learn about this and do it in Salt Lake City. So I came back to Mayor Biscupsky, and I said, this is something amazing that I learned about. There's a lot of other cities doing it. I think we should do it. She agreed, and here we are.
So what are some of the resources and services that are featured here today?
Oh, we've got a lot of different services. We have over about 100 different service providers and well over 200 actual services. We have everything from employment, education. We have some women's services. People are getting cavities filled. They're getting their haircuts and photos taken. If they are a veteran, they can go to the Veterans Administration and get services there. Got a whole range of different options for people today.
How did you make people experiencing homelessness aware of some of the services that are offered here today?
We have a really great community out there that provides services, and they all jumped on board. As you can see here today, over 100 of them came, and they really helped us with this outreach. I also have some great friends who are formerly homeless who went out and walked around on the street and found their friends and told them all about it.
What's been the response from some of these clients here today? Are they a little skeptical, or are they mostly excited? And what services are they gravitating towards most?
I think people are really happy to be here. We're asking those kinds of questions. We'll have some good responses that we can look at and see how they felt about today. We want to learn what we can do better next year. I think people just like being able to come over and find something that they really need and get right to it. Some of our most popular services are vision and eyeglasses. They're getting glasses made right here on site. Dental's a big one. Our housing lines are really long. We've seen a lot of people looking at employment. It's kind of... Those are kind of our big ones, but if you look around, everyone is talking to somebody, one of our clients today, so it's good to see.
So I assume that most of these, if not all of them, these services are available all year round, but I've heard from, you know, some people experiencing homelessness that they have a hard time accessing these services. How do we make these resources more accessible the rest of the year?
You know, I think our service providers really tried to do a good job on bringing people in and getting them access to their services. It's tough, but we can do more things like this. We can have smaller events. We looked at doing these on a quarterly basis, but on a much smaller level that are more focused to different groups such as families or veterans or something like that. So I think there's other ways we can do this. Maybe not so grand, but getting them together to help us out a little more.
Is there anything different you'll do next year?
Just being better organized. We had a lot of people come right at the beginning, and we thought it would be a little more of a slower stream, and we got hit hard. So we're a little short on some staff and some paperwork, and so we want to make sure that next year we can get people through a lot faster.
That was Mike Ackerlow, Deputy Director of Community and Neighborhoods with Salt Lake City. If you visited Library Square on a Monday, Wednesday, or Thursday around 9 a.m., you may have noticed another experimental program for people experiencing homelessness. Since September 2016, community activists Bernie and Marita Hart have led Tai Chi on the plaza, enticing participants with a breakfast burrito, coffee, and $2, as well as a sense of calm and camaraderie. As I found out when I participated this week for the first time, it's not an activity that necessarily requires much skill, just a bit of patience and concentration. The program has grown from a handful of folks to as many as 70 participants. I asked some of the Tai Chiers how they found out about the program and why they keep coming back.
My name's Josh Smith. It was a friend of mine named Neil was coming to do it one morning. He said, I'm broke and I need some cigarettes, so I'm gonna go do Tai Chi. And I said, what are you talking about, Tai Chi? And he said, at the library, go do Tai Chi. You get a good breakfast burrito. You get some coffee, and they give you $2 at the end. I was like, that's kind of weird, but And then I was out here one day at the library, and I saw them down in the basement, everybody doing it. And I kind of thought it looked goofy at first. But then one day I just figured, what the heck, I got nothing better to do. So I tried it, and I actually enjoyed it. I feel rejuvenated, refreshed, energized. The days that I don't do it, I'm just more tired all day. I'm sleepier all day. When I do this, it sets my day off right, puts it on a good path, and it just makes the whole day go better. Bernie has a method to his madness. There's a lot more to this than you know. Being doing it for so long and talking to him, I understand that it's all about movement and relearning your connection with gravity and balance to help you retrain yourself and learn new skills. And there's a lot more to it than just Tai Chi, but there definitely should be more programs like this. I think that the $2 is great to incentive to get people to come out. But once people start coming and they've been here for a little while, I think we have a good core group that if they took the money away, we'd still keep coming. So, yeah, I think they should have a lot more stuff like this. My problem is substance abuse, and it's helped me tons with that. I've been clean. Well, right now I've been clean for 2 weeks, but it's really like 3 months that I've been clean and just, you know, having little fallbacks here and there. But it's helped me a lot with my substance abuse. It helps. We have some veterans that they say it helps with PTSD. Bernie has taught this to autistic kids, and we have an autistic kid named Manny in the group, and his girlfriend says that since he's been doing this, he's talking more, he's smiling more. So it helps all kinds of different people. I mean, don't go into it expecting like a life-changing instant thing. Just you know, go for come out for the burritos and the coffee. You know, they're good breakfast burritos, and the coffee's great. If you're not real social, we have a lot of people here that are like antisocial and, you know, kind of don't like big groups and stuff. I'm one of them. So you can stay on the outside of the group. You don't have to be in the middle. You don't have to be in the front. You stand out off to the side. Nobody's gonna, you know, jump all over you if you do something wrong. Nobody cares. You know, it really doesn't matter. But don't expect like a life-changing thing the first time you come. But just expect that it'll definitely give you some energy and help you feel relaxed and just spiritually good.
My name is Cassie, and I live over at the Road Home. I've got a friend that lives out in West Valley that told me about it, and she kept her asking me until I finally came. One, it lets you, it gives us some exercises to do in the morning to help us wake up. And we all gather together, and those of us that can try to do everything like in unison, and it's about unity, and we all do all the moves that we can together. And it's really a group environment. And a lot of these people that are out here at Tai Chi, I wouldn't talk to like on the block or regular out of the day. So it's kind of cool that I get to talk to people I wouldn't normally ever talk to out there. A lot of people out here with various issues, whether mental, drug, or a combination of both. I know there's a lot of people here that do drugs that normally I wouldn't associate with people that do those drugs. But the Tai Chiers are kind of set apart from everybody else. On the days that there's not Tai Chi versus the days that there is, I notice that I feel a lot more refreshed after Tai Chi than I do just on a regular day when I wake up.
My name is Catherine Barrett. This is my husband, Ron Barrett. We've been homeless off and on for the last 8 years, but really on the street the last 9 months. 10 months, actually. Bernie woke us up one morning. We were sleeping right over here, and he's like, "Hey, how are you guys doing?" And then he told us about it. So yeah, been doing that since. My mind seems better afterwards, and I have multiple sclerosis, so it helps a lot because of the muscle thing. So, yeah.
Yeah, I like that it stretches out a little bit. Like I said, we mentioned back in the mid-2000s when they were doing that, it was kind of an ergonomics thing that they were stretching out for people. It caused less accidents at work and stuff. So I think it kind of, it helps me anyway to move around a little bit better in the morning. Kind of gives us a little focus. I noticed with some of the people out here, it gives them a little bit of, I guess what we need out here is a little bit of hope, because it takes a little bit of their frustration away from them in the morning, kind of lets them focus on what they're going to do about the day. It's really quiet when we do it. It gives them about 20 minutes of quiet time just to themselves, so to speak, but still with the crowd. And I think it gives a little bit of time for people to reflect out here.
Yeah, to focus. It's good to focus. Yep.
For Bernie and Marita, the program is about more than Tai Chi. I spoke with them about the ideas they're exploring through the program and how it fits into the larger conversation about homelessness in Utah.
Neither of you are social workers or Tai Chi masters, right?
Neither.
Neither of you.
And not even close.
Not even close. So what inspired you to get involved with this community and organize this activity? And Bernie, maybe we'll start with you.
It's hard to answer any questions about the program without including the bigger ideas and the bigger concepts, because we never started this to help the homeless intentionally. What we've been doing, or I've been doing with the support of Marita, and we've been doing this together, is exploring a big idea about human behavior and why we do what we do, and you know, the reasons behind it. And I personally had an idea that I felt needed to be explored, and this is part of that process. And we started with autistic children. That was our first opportunity and had some success, and then we had to take the idea to give the idea itself. This isn't about Marita and I, it's about an idea. We had to give the idea a place to perform its magic, if it is magic, if it had something to it, and we struggled to find a group to work with, so eventually it came into the homeless community that we decided to target and focus on, and the Tai Chi program was a medium we chose to with which to explore the idea. So,
what was it about the homeless community here in Salt Lake that drew you to them?
I think it was a person. We live in the area near the library. We're around the library all the time. But there's a gentleman around the library. His name is Spider, and he's always around. And I came to consider him now the sort of the unofficial mayor of the library plaza. And what I noticed about Spider was a lot of young women in the homeless community went to him for advice, or when they were troubled, and they seemed to trust them. And so through that, I developed not a relationship with Spider, but an awareness of him, and paid attention to what was going on with the library. And we saw the mental health issues that just being non-professional, even non-professionals can see some of the issues in the community. And thinking that the ideas we were working with had the potential to impact the group, or the potential possibility, and I have to stress the word possibility because it's an unproven idea, and we felt that this might be an excellent place to do that. So it was the library square itself. The population of homeless people that were in the area already, it seemed like an excellent opportunity to go out and, again, test the idea or implement the idea with a population that was struggling.
Speaking about some of those mental health issues, maybe you can talk about some of the other issues the participants are dealing with. Is there a typical profile of the person who joins you for Tai Chi, Marita?
I actually think that there's a big range of mental illness, all the way from PTSD to TBI even, and just we have schizophrenic there, bipolar, all of it. And the thing that we do, that we started doing, was everybody was welcome. We didn't turn anybody away. And sometimes that means that we have to sort of tell the others that are there that don't necessarily want them there to actually say it's okay. It's okay for everybody.
How do you encourage people to participate then? You have a good group of regulars, and here at KCPW, we've noticed how the group has really grown. What's your pitch to them? I know you've got breakfast burritos, you got a cup of coffee, you got your $2 if you participate in the Tai Chi, yes. Right? Is that the catch?
Yeah, you don't even get the burrito. We're not there to feed the homeless. Again, it comes back to the idea and testing the idea and testing the process that we're using and to encourage people to come.
I think it was about the slow motion part because I think that when you slowed everything down, they could process. And that was hard for me because I'm not a slow down person. But I just kept coming and his ideas seemed to be showing things that were starting to happen. And it just seemed like everybody was coming because of that. Some people would say, I don't know what this is, but it's making a difference.
That's kind of how I felt when I participated this week, too. I'm definitely more of a fast-paced kind of girl. And just to kind of watch the flow of the movements was really therapeutic. Do you think that's what draws many of the people to the group?
I think that was probably and not being professionals, we don't know what to look for, but all we can take is what we hear from the participants. And that was one of the first things. Oh, when I leave, I feel much better. My day goes better. My day is much easier. I'm calmer. I'm more at peace. And to have people in the homeless community that are always on guard and always aware and don't trust themselves and often the people around them to start feeling comfortable or better about the space they're in doing the Tai Chi and then have that follow through and carry over to other parts of the day was just like, okay, then, you know, something's happening.
Now, I'm wondering, I mean, it's been a year now, and I know that you're interested in having some sort of measurable research done on this program, but without that, how do you measure success and failure with this program that you're putting on?
We are in the process of organizing two studies, and we have to have measurable results if you're exploring an idea, especially if it's new ideas that challenge a lot of current theories in the mental health field. And that's one of the things I stress, is that we're organizing a program because Christopher, one of the people you've met in our program that you talked with at the Project Homeless Connect this weekend, he was talking to me about his experience in the program and how for a long time he had trouble with medication. He couldn't remember if he took it or he didn't take it or even what medication he was on and all these types of things. And his short-term memory was terrible. And this is something we're seeing in the group as a whole, you know, just incidental feedback that they mentioned. So after he said that, I started thinking, and I talked to a couple other people in the group, and we're in the process now of having the group itself organize a study on measuring short-term memory on people that come into our program, and then starting collecting data on changes in short-term memory of people in the program. So if somebody is looking for a job, or the current system dealing with the homeless individuals wants them to get an education, how do you educate somebody or teach somebody a new job if their short-term memory is almost non-existent? The boss gives them an instruction, and an hour later they forget what the boss told them. Or the teacher teaches them something that's just critical in learning how to use computers, and 2 hours later they forgot what they were taught. So we're going to measure it, and we're going to see if we're impacting it, and then we'll see what happens.
Is this going to be like a clinical trial or something?
We
what is it
don't
gonna
know.
Look like?
I think this your interview and this bringing this to the public is because we've had trouble. There are basically brand new ideas behind this program. A lot of institutions are nervous about dealing with us. So the homeless, and maybe partnering with a local service provider that we have in mind, and maybe the library itself, we will start working with some oversight. We have one professor at the U that's interested. And so we'll start collecting the data ourselves. And if the people question the data, we can have them come in and do their own study. But we will poke at the system using the resources we have available, which are primarily in homeless individuals themselves, because it's a very intelligent community. There's a lot of people with bright ideas out there and imaginations. And
I think that's what having been doing this for a year has what's made the difference, because we've been at it a year and we were getting nothing. Okay, now all of a sudden it seems all these little pieces are starting to come together and we're seeing avenues where we can get attention and maybe get the data that we want. And so that's just working a lot better.
Well, you mentioned the traditional homeless service provider system here in Salt Lake, and we have The Road Home, the Wiegand Center, Volunteers of America, and many more doing work here in the community. Going back to when you began the program, what need were you trying to fill with your program?
Looking at the overall picture, it's been probably my biggest struggle, is how do you suggest to a community of service providers and people that are working with the homeless and people that are passionate and people that really care and they really believe in what they're doing, how do you suggest to them that the system is failing and do it in a way that is both compassionate and caring for the homeless and for the service providers themselves? And that has been a struggle. That has been a struggle because I question the services, the effectiveness of the services, not the individuals providing the services.
What types of services?
Primarily mental health services. We talked about the short-term memory. How do you go through talk therapy? And how do you organize and relate to a therapist if you can't remember what he said 2 hours later, or you don't trust yourself to remember or organize your life at all? How do these therapies actually going to work with somebody that is in that kind of condition, sleeping among addicts and all this stuff is going on? So there's the physical and the mental. And the ideas that we're working on, the reason I can do it, I think, is because I have some confidence in the ideas that we're applying. And they sort of, I'm trying to choose my words so carefully. They may provide a more effective alternative to the current way of dealing with some of the mental health issues. And so that's the purpose of the whole thing.
Marita?
I think what I see is that we really need to have a dialogue going. And because of who we are and have no PhD, and nobody wants to have that dialogue.
You're just some random folks in the community who started doing Tai Chi on the plaza.
Yeah. And that's how the community thinks about us. They don't think about the ideas, or these folks may have something that to offer more than just Tai Chi. But I think we do, and I think, I mean, I'd rather have you talking to the homeless about what we do rather than us, because everybody wants to tell you how great what they're doing is. But it's the people you do it with and for, and are they getting jobs? Are they going to education? Are they returning to their families? Are they becoming productive? Are they coming back to help other homeless people?
You've noticed that.
Yes. They're taking care of each other. And so these are the way we measure success and what makes us feel good. But that, when I always come back to the idea, those things reflect on the value of the idea, not what Marietta and I are doing.
We actually have sort of started to set up a situation that kind of came to us first, but where one homeless person that has a problem like procrastination maybe, and the other person has a problem about showing up, to put those two together as like partners and see if they can move forward to have both of those things get better.
Do you think it's more effective for them to help each other than have, you know, the powers that be or the system help them?
Again, I think it goes back to what we're trying to do is create a shift. Yeah, well, we have to create a shift in how we think about just that basic thing, one person helping another. In the past, in this population, I question a lot of the thinking, that the old thinking or the current thinking, in that compassion and love and caring and having somebody to help you is going to solve the problem. Almost every person out on the street has a mother at home or somebody that cares about them at home that would do almost anything for them, that they would mortgage their, if there was a program or something that they knew would help them, they would mortgage the house, they would move, they would do anything to get that person back into a productive life where they were safe. But there isn't anything right now that provides them with the tools to do that. And so partnering up, putting people with somebody is not the answer. It's what you ask them to do while they're doing that, using new thinking or new ideas or trying new things. And it's being honest about how effective compassion has been in the past in solving our problems. I get a lot of people upset with me when I say compassion doesn't work. You need compassion, and it's an integral part of it. But as a solution, it's been ineffective.
Marita, you were talking about starting a dialogue, and I know that you all are meeting with Salt Lake City Police Chief Mike Brown later.
That was postponed. It's scheduled for another. He's got a lot of things on his plate right now.
True.
But they have shown an interest, and it's a big problem for everybody in the city.
Right, yeah. Right. And you've connected with other city leaders who already have plans to deal with homelessness, including Operation Rio Grande and the scattered site homeless resource centers will be popping up in a couple of years. How do you see your program fitting into all of that going forward?
That's hard.
Again, it comes back to the idea. And this is an idea that can't be part of the current system. Or the current system thinks so highly of itself, but it refuses to look at the effectiveness and the bottom line of the programs they're doing, that I almost feel that we're in a position right now with the homeless population we're working with in a relationship with the library and the attention we're attracting locally from KCPW and other people that have seen the program at work, to sort of put up a parallel program. Just a small program that tries the ideas in different scenarios, whether it be small housing projects or mental health programs for different populations, but actually start gathering data with the new study I just mentioned that we're going to do. And there's a second study we have planned that'll be a bigger study and cover more territory. But through those kinds of efforts, we may be able to get the system itself to start questioning itself. And I think that's the role we can provide, more than partnering with them to try and implement what they are doing and we're doing, but just to create something that forces them or prompts them to start looking at something different.
As well as us.
Yeah. So
have to prompt them both.
Right.
So we have a role, but it's not going to be a role that somebody else creates for us. We'll create our own role, working with our own population, trying to do the same thing they're doing good and helping people.
Have you participated in Tai Chi on Library Square? Let us know at KCPW's Facebook page, KCPW88.3. Or feel free to email us at comments@kcpw.org with your feedback and questions. Thanks to the KCPW team for their support of this show, as well as to Andrew Shaw, who composed the show's theme music. And thank you for tuning in. You can find podcasts of this program on our website, kcpw.org. Up next is Both Sides of the Aisle. I'm Emily Means. Thanks for listening.